Good morning. I am so honored and excited to be here. Thank you, Dr. Mark, and to all of the staff that are here. DCC is very hard. It's very hard. It causes you to really study and to be disciplined. So I encourage all of you to stay diligent to your studies. This morning, I won't be before you very long, but I do want to share a story of influence with you. When I think of my life, when I think of, you know, all of us, at some point of time, we are influenced or impacted by something or some events or someone. Those events could be good or bad. They could be positive or negative. They could cause us to turn the direction of our lives. Just one encounter, one thing, one word said can influence us in just a whole different way. When I thought about this message and how I would present a message to you, I thought about the first opportunity I had to go to Nairobi, Kenya. It was with Baylor, of course, in 2004, 2005. We had a lot of students that were coming from Kenya that were a part of the student body. And this particular year, the staff wanted us to go to Kenya so we could experience the culture, so we can go and see what life there was all about. So it was about 100 of us, and I was on a team of women, the women ministers, that were going to go to a place in Nairobi that was called Amani Yaju. It was a place that women from Burundi and Uganda had come. They were refugees, a place of security that they had found in Kenya away from the war. And in this particular camp, these women, along with Kenyans, had decided that they would come together in one faith, and that this higher peace, Amani, would be able to sustain them, and it changed their lives forever. If you ever go there, if you ever go to Kenya, if some of you may have already been, the place is there, its existence, it is thriving. These women work together with their crafts. They sew clothes together and they sell them, and they make beads so that they can be able to sustain themselves and to help the community. Little did I know that would have an influence on my life in such a way that that experience still remains with me today. It was an unlikely influence. We had no idea what we would experience. But I tell you today, it has changed my life. When I think about the Word of God, there are so many people that influence our lives. I thought about Paul. I thought, of course, Jesus Christ. I thought about Moses. But today I want to share with you a message about an unlikely influence, a woman found in the book of John chapter 4. And of course, most of us know the story, the woman at the well. It's several scriptures there, but I want to read just one and highlight this scripture today for our sharing. John chapter 4, verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything that I did." Many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him because of this unlikely influence, this unlikely woman, when she testified of what Jesus had done to her. When we remember the story of John chapter 4, Jesus, of course, he is getting ready to leave and go to Galilee because the Pharisees are all upset because they've heard that he's baptizing, he's making more disciples, he's having an influence. So Jesus says, "I'm going to leave here, but I have a necessary need. I have needs to go through Samaria." And we know that he didn't have to go that way. It was a shorter way, but he decided to take the long way. Why did he go to Samaria? We've asked the question over and over and over again, and we come to realize it's because this woman needed him. This woman needed hope. She needed a way out. And what that says to you and I is that Jesus finds us right where we are. He always knows how to seek us out. We could be sitting in a crowd, but Jesus knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly our name, our address, and he will come to us. The Bible tells us that no man can come unto the Father except he be drawn by the Spirit. And what a wonderful way of Jesus sharing with us, to this unlikely woman, his love. This love that we sang about, how we stand amazed in his presence because his love never fails. How our sins are as crimson, but he washes them white as snow. He came to Samaria. And the Bible says, as he comes on the journey, he sits there at Jacob's well, he's tired. And at noon, this woman comes at noon, not at the normal time, but she comes because she's afraid of being ostracized. She's afraid of what people will say, the town people, because they know her past. And you know, most of us, all of us have a past. And it's not shiny, usually, it's not bright, it's not something that we want to share with everyone. It is the past because that's what it is, it's behind us. But she came to the well looking to get water, but she had an encounter that changed her life forever. And when I think about this, she gets to the well and she sees Jesus. And Jesus says to her, give me water to drink. Give me something to drink. And immediately, of course, the woman comes back, and we have the story here. She says, how can you ask me for water to drink? I'm a Samaritan, you are a Jew, and we have nothing to do with each other. How can you ask me for a drink? And Jesus tells her, if you knew of the gift, if you had any idea of who it was talking to you, this gift that I have, you would ask me for water, if you knew. But she was still blinded from her past, from what she had been going through. So the Bible tells us, as we look at the verse, she answered. He said to her, if you knew who it was, the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. You're thirsty, you're tired, but you have nothing to draw with. Where do I get this living water? She raises the question. Now she's intrigued. She's listening now. She may have heard him, but now she's listening. Where do I get this living water? Then she goes, are you greater than Jacob? This is Jacob's well. Are you greater than him? Even he rested here. He drank from here. His cattle, everyone, they drank from this well. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up. And here's the key. The woman said, sir, give me this water. My condition warrants a change. I hear what you're saying. I'm desperate. I'm here at the noon hour of the day. I'm coming after something that will change my situation. She said, sir, give me this water for two things. Number one, give me this water so that I won't thirst again. And number two, give it to me so I don't have to come back. I want something different in my life. You may be sitting here today, and you may be at the well. You may have a situation in your life that no one else knows about, or maybe the town knows. Maybe people from where you came and grew up knew. And they're wondering why you're at DCC, because you're at the well. Because you're saying, give me this water. Give me something different. So that when people see me, they will know something happened in my life. I had an encounter. They will know that something took place. I looked different. I walked different. I talked different. She said, give me this water. I'm desperate. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband. She says, I don't have any. He said, you're right. The five that you have, the one that you have is not your own. Why did Jesus go through this conversation with this woman? I believe because he wanted to see how desperate she was. Sometimes we have to be completely transparent and just say, it's me. It's not my mother, it's not my father, it's not my sister or my brother, but it's me who's standing in the need of prayer. She, go call, bring your issues to me. She admitted. She didn't try to hide anything. And sometimes when we come to God, we don't come telling him, I am a wretch undone. But he already knows. Nothing is hidden from his presence. He had this conversation with her, I believe, just to see if she would be able to share with him the truth. And that's what he said. He said, you have spoken the truth. You have now spoken the truth. And the woman said, I believe now that you're a prophet. I perceive you are a prophet. And she goes on to find out about, you know, we worship here. The Samaritans worship here and the Jews worship there. Jesus said, it's not about that. Now it becomes a spiritual thing. Those that worship me worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. He's in her presence. He's in our presence. She says, when the Messiah comes, he'll come and he'll tell us everything. He says, I am he. I am the one that speaks to you. And immediately, this is what I like. She dropped her water pots and went her way into the city to the same people who had ostracized, who had talked about her, and said, come see a man. Come see a man who has told me everything that I have done. Could this be the Christ? The Bible says, then they went out of the city and came to him. And the scripture that I just read to you, and many of the Samaritans, many of them, they could have been with her when she was in her sin. Many of them believed on Christ because of her testimony. Three principles I believe that we can learn from this unlikely influence. Number one, we have to be willing to make a difference. But we cannot make a difference until the difference is first made in us. We can't. She couldn't talk about Jesus until she had encountered him. She didn't know grace until she had experienced grace. She didn't know love like this until she understood the love that never fails. Be willing to make a difference. When the difference, the encounter happens in us, it does something. It shifts us. It takes the blinders off. It's like the man that was born blind. He said, one thing I know, I don't know if this guy is a sinner or not, but I was blind, but now I see. I don't know what you know him to be, but what he's done in my life. This woman was able to say, I'm willing to make a difference because the encounter had happened. The difference was made in me. The second thing she teaches us, in order to make a difference, you have to be willing to lay aside your inhibitions, your prohibitions for ambition. She left her water pots. She came with her water pots to get water. But immediately when she encountered this difference, she left everything. She left whatever people had said didn't matter. What they thought about her didn't matter. Her fears did not matter. She left her prohibitions, her inhibitions. I can't do anything. She left all of that immediately. And today, you and I, we may be sitting here struggling with, I can't do it. What will people say? What are your hindrances? What are your fears? I tell you today at the well, lay it aside. Trade it for ambitions. This woman left embarrassment and became an evangelist. She was ostracized. The same people that say you can't, with Christ, we can do it all. Lay aside those things. I challenge you today to lay down your water pots. Whatever your differences are, whatever your fears are, what your family say you can't do. My son, at 21, is the first grandson that will graduate in my family. Lay aside your fears. When you have an encounter, you have been called to make a difference. Lay it aside. Take nothing for granted. No encounter, no person, no experience. We sang the song, he causes all things, Romans 8:28, to work together for our good. Lay it aside. She laid aside her water pots. And finally, the third thing, in order to make a difference, be willing to go back to bring back. Be willing to go back. If you have to go back to the place that people knew you in your sin, come on. If you have to go back to the place where people said you could not make it, when you go back to your home over the Christmas break and the people that you used to hang with, be willing to go back, to bring them back, to bring them where? To Christ. Be willing to go back and say, listen, yes, I was that. That's what I used to do. I used to go out to the clubs. I used to smoke. I used to be caught up in porn. I used to do those things. But I'm willing to go back to bring you back to someone I had an encounter with in order to make a difference. This woman was an unlikely influence. And I challenge you today, all of us are meeting people. You're here in school. You may not ever see them again. There are professors and teachers that will make an influence in your life that will change the course of your direction. I'm challenged by this woman's story. I'm challenged. Even when I went to Africa, I thought the greater influence was Amani Yazoo. But as I close, let me tell you a story. The next week, they told us that we're done with this project. You're going now to the street ministry. You're going to minister to children that are strung out on drugs. They sniff glue to void out, to null the pain. The girls are pregnant at 12 and 13. They live on the streets. They have no place to go. But in order for us to meet these children, we had to wake up at 3 a.m. and drive to the place while it was dark, because they only come out in the dark. The woman at the well only came when no one was there. We got there, and when we got off the bus, we were all nervous because we were outside of the city of Nairobi. And so we were in a group, and we were like, where are we going? We didn't know. The missionary was just leading us. And there were shadows of people we would see just moving in and about us. When we got to the location, we were there to find a man called Pastor Boniface. Boniface's ministry is to street children, Colors of the Cross ministry, children who have no hope, children who feel like they're at the end of the world. Their parents can't do anything for them. The government can't do it. There's no hope. There's no help. And when we got there, we saw Boniface calling the children in Kiswahili, lining them up, sitting them on the sidewalk. And he began to open up the scriptures to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He began to teach them about the love of God, even in spite of their condition, in spite of their situation. He was saying to them, God sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. You're going to make it. After he finished sharing the word of God, he called each of us and gave us loaves of bread and milk. And we began to shake hands and give each of the children about 6 or 7 slices of bread. That was their meal for the day. I had no idea how much impact that had on me. We got ready to leave, and Boniface came to the bus, and he called me, and I'm thinking, I don't speak Swahili. I'm not Kenyan, although we're the same color. I came out, and he said to me, can you come back? Will you come back? I was shocked. I was shocked. Why me? But let me tell you, 7 years ago to today, Harvesting of Souls Ministry returns to Kenya every year to minister with Pastor Boniface, to reach the street children. It launched our global ministry. We're here in the cities. We go to Kenya. We go to Tanzania. We go where the Lord opens the door for us, because he says to the disciples, as Jesus said, don't wait 4 months to the harvest. Look up on the fields where they're white, are ready to harvest. An unlikely influence can change our lives forever. When you look all through the Bible, look at Rahab. Unlikely influence. But wow, where did it land her? In the lineage of Christ. Never take your position for granted. Never take the people you encounter for granted. I challenge you today, make a difference, bring the light of Christ to those you come encounter with. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we stand amazed in your presence. We honor you for Jesus the Christ, the light of the world, who alone has changed and impacted our lives so that we may go out and change other people. Father, I pray today that this word will grow on the inside of us, that we won't take our lives, our testimonies for granted, but that we would use them to change our communities, to change the world, to change the church, so that we can bring others to you. Thank you for our time together. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.